Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Main, for that introduction, and thank you, Adams Road Band, for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We have been going through a speech that was given by Ezra Taft Benson, who would later become the 13th president of the Mormon Church, a speech that was titled The 14 Fundamentals in Following the Prophet. It was given in 1980, and it was supposed to be a guide on how members of the LDS Church are to follow the leadership, and they would be protected in doing so, that it would prevent the gates of hell from overcoming them. So far, we've gone through the first 2 points, and today we're looking at point number three. Point number three in the 14 fundamentals in following the prophet.
The living prophet is more important to us than a dead prophet. The living prophet has the power of TNT. By that, I mean today's news today.
Okay, the living prophet is more important to us than a dead prophet. Why do you think Ezra Taft Benson would have to say that? I mean, we don't do that as Christians. I mean, we wouldn't say that we have a hierarchy of prophets in our list. We would say that, for instance, Moses is an important prophet, as Isaiah. Now, certainly within the Jewish theocracy, Moses certainly held a very special place because of the Exodus and things like that. But you wouldn't hear Isaiah saying things that conflict with what Moses said earlier, or Jeremiah saying things that conflicted with Ezekiel, things like that. Why does Benson have to make a comment like that? It seems pretty clear that Benson understands that there have been things said by Mormon leaders in the Mormon church's past that certainly do contradict what is being taught by the current leadership. So what he's telling the membership to do is don't pick out all these controversies and then ask us why are they contradicting each other. You just kind of put those contradictions in the past. Now, I bring up the word contradiction very purposely because we have found that some Latter-day Saints take this idea in point number three and they will take it to an extreme and say, well, then I don't have to listen to anything that the leader said in the past. So if I bring up something that a Mormon leader said, let's say 20, 30, 40 years ago, and it rubs them the wrong way, they feel like they're justified in rejecting that. And that's not what Benson is teaching. That's not what he's saying here. The reason why we know he's not saying that you just ignore everything that was said in the past is because, as we've seen so far, he's quoting dead prophets in this speech. So he's still quoting dead prophets, but he's still quoting them in a way that they were telling the truth, and it's supposed to be believed by Latter-day Saints right now.
Do you think maybe, Bill, that he's talking about such issues as God progressing in knowledge or the Adam God, that they call theory, but the Adam God doctrine, those kinds of issues that maybe Christians were bringing out to the forefront and saying, well, what about these things? And I think maybe what he's saying here is, well, when those things that disagree with what I'm saying as a living prophet, those things were no longer valid.
Yeah, if it's a contradiction, I'm sure that's exactly where Benson was going with this. I think it's unfortunate, though, that many Latter-day Saints are taking that as some kind of license to just completely ignore everything that was said in the
past. Well, it's a line item veto. So they can say, well, I take this, but I don't take that.
Yeah, it could be, because I'm sure, well, we know from history that the Mormon Church does come out with statements in knee-jerk reaction to what criticisms are being leveled against them at a particular time. We know this by listening to General Conference. We can recognize in some of their comments some of the criticisms that have been made recently, and they are responding to those criticisms. Oftentimes, they don't respond very well. And I don't think when Benson says that we're supposed to ignore Like he says at the end of this, beware of those who would pit the dead prophets against the living prophets, for the living prophets always take precedence. I don't think that's a very good argument if you're going to try and tell me that your living prophets are getting their instructions from God himself. Because let's remember, folks, when Brigham Young said those things, he was the living prophet. The guidance at that time, as it is today, is you are supposed to listen to the words of the living prophet. Well, Brigham Young was alive when he said those things, so that rule would apply to him.
Well, then how do we know what the living prophet is saying today? That he's saying here in his points, well, he goes and he says, therefore, the most important reading we can do is any of the words of the prophet contained each week in the church section of the Deseret News and any words of the prophet contained each month in the church magazines. Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses, which are printed in the Ensign magazine. These are not just them getting up and giving their opinions. According to what Ezra Taft Benson says here, these are marching orders.
They are acting in the office of a prophet. And you would think that Mormons would recognize that. And I find that many of them do. Many of them do. They don't. A lot of Latter-day Saints do take what their leaders say as very important. I would say, yeah, we do come across some that would much rather not listen to them, but for the most part, they do take them pretty seriously.
And that's why when we do a lot of our quoting, Bill, we're quoting from not just the standard works, but we're quoting from a lot of these items, including the Ensign magazine, the conference issues. We take those very seriously, and the reason we take those seriously is because they believe that those are, again, God's marching orders. They're supposed to study those conferences, what the prophets have said, what the apostles have said. And it's all been, as you mentioned in an earlier show, been vetted. So this is not just these guys getting up and giving their opinions.
In point number three, he says, I'm so grateful that the current conference report is studied on this campus. Now, remember, folks, he's given a BYU devotional. That's what the 14 Fundamentals was. It was a BYU devotional given in February of 1980. So he's speaking to students at this time. I am so grateful that the current conference report is studied on this campus as part of one of your religion classes, the course entitled Teachings of the Living Prophets, course number 333. May I commend that class to you and suggest that you get a copy of the class manual. I've had the opportunity of reviewing it. The manual is available at your bookstore, whether you are able to take the course or not. The manual is entitled Living Prophets for a Living Church. I like that title for Religion Course 333. Now, the manual that he was referring to is still in print today, but it has been seriously revised as of 2010. But the manual that he was probably referring to is probably very close to the one that I have in my hand right now. But mine is dated in 1982, which would be a couple years after he gave this speech. Of course it would have to be afterwards, because in the 1982 edition that I have here, it cites the 14 Fundamentals in Following the Prophet. So after he gives this speech, he commends this manual, they incorporate the speech into the manual. So not only do we have the 270s in October of 2010 talking about it, we have this 1982 edition of the manual citing it in pieces. But if you look at the new manual, the 2010 manual, student manual 333, it cites the entire 14 Fundamentals. Again, it's not every single word. It's been edited a little bit to fit space, but over several pages, yep, you will find the 14 Fundamental speech.
And if anybody wants to look that up, that's in the 2010 edition, starting on page 22, and they take it all the way to page 27, and it's there.
If you were to go through these manuals, and I mean, they are a wealth of information as to what Mormons are expected to do when it comes to the teaching of their leaders. One of the things I like to cite when people come to me, Latter-day Saints come to me and say, well, that isn't really binding. That was just his opinion or something like that of a particular leader. I like to cite page 22 in the 1982 edition. Speaking of these type of prophets, he says, Witzo says, his unofficial expressions carry greater weight than the opinions of other men of equal or greater gifts and experience, but without the power of the prophetic office. It would be wisdom on all occasions and with respect to all subjects in any field of human activity to hearken to the prophet's voice. So these manuals, in particular the manual that Benson was actually commending, actually tells members that even when it comes down to the opinions, because of the prophetic office that these men hold, you should listen to what they're saying, even if it's not in the standard works. On page 21, quotes, Prophet Joseph Smith taught that a prophet was a prophet only when he was acting as such. Now, I would have a problem with that because that was said in a private conversation in a house. It was never said in conference, but yet notice how the Mormons will latch on to that. But then it goes on to say, prophets have the right to personal opinions. Not every word they speak should be thought of as an official interpretation or pronouncement. However, their discourses to the saints and their official writings should be considered products of their prophetic calling and should be heeded. So if a Latter-day Saint tells you, well, that was just Brigham Young's opinion, you might point them to page 21 in this 1982 manual and ask them to explain to you then why is it that even their opinions are supposed to be listened to. It doesn't look like it's giving them a license to just reject whatever they said in the past. Remember, these are supposed to be living prophets of God. We're not expecting perfection out of them. We're not expecting them for, you know, never to get upset on a freeway if somebody cuts them off, if they even drive themselves, I don't even know. But we do expect when they get behind a pulpit, for instance, in general conference, that they should be teaching things that they believe to be true and are supposed to be coming from God Himself. But yet, as we've mentioned many times, there have been conference messages given by living prophets at that time that Mormons do not believe today. Why is that? If they are really getting their information from the same source, why do we see this inconsistency among many of the teachers in the LDS Church? He concludes this section, point number 3, beware of those who would pit the dead prophets against the living prophets, for the living prophets always take precedent. We need to ask the question, why would that be?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.